اهلا وسهلا مرحبا.
مركز صحابة اون لاين راديو empowering the ummah.
Welcome ya Abu Safa. Welcome.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to this edition of the Coffee Express, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Markaz Sahaba Online, Sawtu Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'a, the voice of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'a in Durban, South Africa. Alhamdulillah, we have just completed our segment on Palestine, and we are discussing the character and the attitude of the Yahud as mentioned in the Holy Quran. We will now get on with our next segment called Straight Talk with our brother, counselor, Ahmad Parak, Hafizahullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother Ahmad Parak.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners on a beautiful Saturday morning, Molana.
To begin with, do we have any new developments related to dafan and kafan?
Molana, alhamdulillah, for the last 2 weeks we've been a little bit quiet. Only think we lost one or two of our very prominent brothers in this town. One was Paigora Chatri, has been in the sound business for many, many years, and he has been handling all the istimas in the country. So he was one of the founders of the Chatri's sound services. So we lost him about a week ago. So Allah give him Jannat al-Firdaus, who was my neighbor in Spingo Beach as well. So one of, you know, and you know, Allah is taking all our prominent people away from the dunya at the moment. But alhamdulillah, it's been quiet. In the mortuary front, yes, the silly season is around the corner. We have got special arrangement. Postmortems will be done after hours, not after hours, but during the holidays as well. So we got no issues as far as that is concerned. But I've just got a message early this morning regarding there's a bad accident in the near the Maron Hill Toll Plaza. There's 27 vehicles have been accident has taken place. 27 vehicles are involved in there. There's a driver from Zimbabwe who has caused the accident, and he's trapped in the vehicle as well. So they're busy working with that at this moment in time. That's what we got for an update so far, Molana. Inshallah, I think by next week we should be knowing any other update and see if I can bring any other government departments in into our radio station to just brief us before the Christmas and the New Year's vacations, where there will be a lot of issues pertaining, and the government department will be able to address us, Molana.
Now, I see a lot of write-ups on spaza shops, and you know, it seems like the government is really serious about regulating spaza shops due to those deaths, particularly deaths of 22 children. Now, before we go on, you know, for our international listeners, they may not know what this slang term spaza means. Could you just define what a spaza shop is? You know, the definition of the word spaza.
Spaza is a informal business, in other words. It's not a regularized business. They just spring up anywhere. They got a garage. They turn the garage into a small shop. And they say it becomes a spaza shop. So it's like an informal trading facility. That is it. Now, what the government is doing at the moment is to regularize that industry and that business of the spaza shop. As you know, the numbers that you have quoted, 22, has gone up to 27. That is the actual figure, 27. Mainly children have passed away in this spaza shop, expired goods that was sold to the children. Because, you know, what happens is weekends, and these deaths mainly took around, mainly weekends and after schools, that children go and buy from these spaza shops. And these goods were actually expired goods, long expired, and they had some actual chemicals in some of these chips and some of these sweets that they have bought, and that's what actually happened. So that's where we are. So spaza shop is an informal trading facility.
Now, in one of the articles that was published in our local newspapers, it stated all applications are being vetted. These applications for registration of these shops are being vetted by the relevant departments, including the Department of Home Affairs. The vetting process includes a thorough review, site inspection, and enforcement actions for non-compliant cases. Could you elaborate on the vetting process?
Molana, first and foremost, if you take Itigwini municipality, there's 2,500 new registration application has come through. Now, the question that we need to ask ourselves as well, have we got the capacity to vet all these 2,500 applications? No, we don't have that. Secondly, even in the all the other government department, which you mentioned, Home Affairs, Department of Health, and the inspectors, will they be able to go there and vet them properly? No. So the third point is, Molana, the most of these spaza shops were run by foreign nationals. About 70% of that were run by foreign nationals. And now what they are doing is they're trying to beat the system. They're going to bring a local South African to go and register so that he qualifies in terms of some of the legislation. So that is a problem that we are going to be faced with as well. So as far as the applications are concerned, yes, they will do a vetting. But how much from the 2,500 can be vetted, that, you know, only Allah knows what. So that is the problem. The deadline is Tuesday. Coming Tuesday, there will be no extension or anything like that. So far as we are concerned, at government level, there will be inspectors going and checking. If you don't have a permit, you don't have the license for that business, that business will be closed. So that is going to be. And now, based on that, now the people want to come up there and they want to tell you that, you know what, we came, we did an application, you don't have the capacity to do A, B, C, and D. What happens to us? You can't keep us closed for indefinitely. We're servicing the community. So these are the issues that they're going to be faced coming week. So I'm not sure how they're going to tackle it, but the systems are in place. So I'm not sure what is going to take place as of next week onward. So that's where we are at the stage, Molana.
Then we also read in one of these articles in our popular newspapers, in Kalane said issues of non-compliance included individuals that attempted to register permanent structures on properties they do not own, and spaza shop owners who tried to register structures that are not suitable to sell food and groceries. Now, firstly, does this mean if one does not own the premises of one's business, one does not qualify for registration?
Jimonana, firstly, where you put in your spaza shop, obviously, you need to get consent. If you're using municipal land and you have put up a spaza shop there, you have to send an application to real estate to lease that site. That's one. Secondly, if you're using a site that does not belong to you, or it is a private land or a garage, somebody else's garage that doesn't, you do not own it. So that will be closed completely because we have got systems in place that where you will be able to pick it up very, very quickly, whether you're owning the premises, you don't own the premises, and that's what's going to happen. They will close you up, and this is what's going to happen. The idea behind this whole issue, in fact, this should have come out many, many years ago, is to regularize. If we get this sector sorted out, the next sector is going to be the taxi industry. That will be regularized. If you get these two entities regularized, then it will give the government a big database where we'll be able to track you down wherever you are in terms of your, how you're operating, and then it'll come to, eventually it'll come to a demerit system that if we caught you once, twice, a third time, you'll be, you know, giving you, providing you have applied previously the proper channels and everything, and you have defaulted in the year or 2 years, then they will be coming onto a demerit system. They'll be able to close you up and all that. So this system they have put in place, it should have come long ago. And now by getting it into in place now, it is going to assist us to see how many spaza shops are in the country. But we must understand also, Maulana, this spaza shop business, it runs into billions, not billions of rand, in billions of rand industry. And if you take the whole country, is in 200 billion rand industry. This is, so, you know, you take KZN alone is 55 billion. So if you take that into account, who's going to suffer here is a lot of wholesalers is going to take a knock on this year because, you know, they were depending on spaza shop business. And spaza shop business is cash. It's not credit or anything like that. They just come, they pay. If you go to Macro and you go to one of our big super wholesalers, and you will see how they buy, they fill the shop. And the biggest problem we will be facing here, we locals cannot compete with the foreign nationals. The foreign nationals got the power in terms of the buying power from the major supermarkets, major wholesalers. And that's where our problem is going to be. So there will be a grant in place going forward, providing you have did the documents properly, you have filled in the documents properly, there will be grants in place going forward from here as well. So if you do it the proper way, so obviously you will be able to even open a bank account, you will be able to get grant, no payback grant, and to assist you to grow your business.
Now, as far as the taxation, you know, those that are registered, you know, is there any monitoring of taxes? You know, are they paying taxes and anybody monitoring them?
Maulana, they did it very, very smartly, yeah. The idea behind this whole thing is to bring them into a trap. Once you start coming and registering, getting yourself organized, going through the normal application format and everything. Once that has come into effect, then they will be obviously, then they're giving you the cherry on the top that we will be able to give you a grant, you'll be able to open a bank account, you go to the small business facility, they will be able to assist you to grow your business, and you'll be able to use cards. All this they're putting into place for now. So once all that has been done, they now come to sometime next year, they will see from there exactly how many people have registered in terms of the spaza shops and into our network. We got how many into our database. From there, they will now say, okay, fine, this is not regularized. They either taxation, and they will start then negotiating with SARS and the government departments to how best to assist this. Yeah. Or they go to the major supermarkets if they're paying the VAT there. So they will come to some agreement because at the end of the day, the rural and the township business is completely different to the suburb business and everything else. So that's, they have to, now they have to balance this whole scale into how they will be able to. The idea behind this thing is to trap you into the net to make sure you register first.
Okay, now, one of the things that is mentioned is suitable structures. What about these people, particularly in the city center, we see that are operating from just mere tables? Would a person be able to operate from tables?
Maulana, the city bylaws make provision for these. This is actually was not Spaza shop. This is, they have previously they demarcated on the pavement and they numbered the area where you would be able to sell normally fresh produce, and that was originally the plan. But now they are selling everything, and now this will come into the same network as the Spaza shop. So now how this is going to be, now this is where our big problem is coming. A lot of the shops are objecting because they're narrowing the movement on the pavement, and they are starting to lose business as well. So this is one of the things that they are looking into going into the new year as well. So how they're going to regularize the pavement business is going to be seen, how it's going to be implemented in the early next year.
Our local Itikweni mayor said that the city has been working to transform township and rural Spaza shops into commercially viable enterprises, and that several initiatives have been designed to empower Spaza shop owners on the database. Now, what are the initiatives that have been designed to empower Spaza shop owners?
If you take what he's talking about, and I remember clearly, there's 347 Spaza shop owners have been already trained, equipped. And what they are saying is the point of sale. So if they're going to make it like how you go and you go to a supermarket and point of sale, you know, they give you a proper slip, all that, that's what we said earlier on, where they will be able to equip you in terms of opening a bank account and getting a discounted rate at the supermarkets and as well as the big cash and carry as well. So that's what he's talking about in this. And the granting aid will follow after that. That's what we are saying to the Spaza owners. You do it properly, these are the things that is lined up for you.
Okay, then our next question would be, through the collaboration with the Provincial Department of Economic Development, Tourism and Environmental Affairs and the Department of Small Business Development, the municipality has secured grants and micro loans for Spaza owners, he said in a statement. Are all Spaza shop owners who are registered, you know, qualify for these grants and micro loans, or is there going to be a selection process?
Maulana, the small micro loan, it will be via the bank. We, the municipality or the government will be, we don't have the capacity to police the system, and we don't have the monies to do the micro loans. So what they are doing is they're going to tie up all the major banks to say, okay, we have got in our database 3,000 Spaza shops or informal shops that is now in our database now. Can you assist them? If these are the, we got proper application, everything has been vetted, and how best you can help them, and what rate of interest is going to be applicable for these Spaza shops. So that's what they are saying. To make it easier for them, they'll be able to open and open the account. So once that opening the account is now, then the child has got interest in this business now. Immediately, that's what you said earlier on, where there will be a taxation, that's when he's going to come. First, we need to do all this, bring it in line before they can do anything. So there will be a loan, micro loans. Yes, there will be micro loans. There will be grants also. So whether you qualify for that grant, the criteria is being used very, very stringently, whether there is going to be, if he qualifies, then he will get a grant. That is grant, he is no payback, but microloans, you have to pay back.
Now, this something that I've had personal experience with, you know, prior to joining the radio station, I was involved in a project where this particular person, very wealthy person, who preferred not giving money in zakah, but to rather set people up in businesses, because he was dealing in grain and staple foods that he was importing and distributing. And so, you know, he told me to go and select people. And one of the, you know, obstacles was that if I went in an area, now this was being given as zakah, so it was being given free to whoever is chosen to set up a business. Because besides what he could supply, he was negotiating with other people in his position to see if they can give zakah in this way also, stocks where we set people up in business. One of the obstacles that I had was that if a foreigner already had a spaza shop there, there was no way we could compete with him, because although we're giving them stocks free, we want them to be competitive with, you know, the major stores. And this is what we said we'll do for about 6 months, until we can create a cash flow for them, and then we will sell them stuff at cost, not as a at a profit. And if a foreigner already had a spaza shop running in the area, then I was wasting my time, because there was no way that we could compete with that foreigner. How they were selling things at such reduced prices, only Allah knows. So is there going to be, you know, there should be, I think, some kind of regulatory body that maintains price control?
Manana, as far as that is concerned, you know, in terms of the act, you can't do that, number one. You know, Mercedes-Benz in Durban wants to give you Mercedes 200, Mercedes for 430,000, you go to North Coast, you get one for 385,000. So, you know, you can't, that is not regulated issue, so because it's governed. So the thing is this, the only way, now the problem comes in, you cannot compete with foreign nationals because they got the buying power. And when they do a deal, they do buy the pallet loads and they do a super link. They, you know, in a super link, you get like 30 pallets coming off oil or baked beans or whatever it is. So the issue here, and you, especially the Somalis, you can't beat them. They have got their own banks. They've got their own infrastructure. And when they buy massive, and they got massive warehouses around the country as well. See, they those guys, they don't go to the to macro or trade port or all these big cash and carries. They go direct to their own infrastructure and pick up from their stock, because they have got a or like a one in one out basis from what I understand. So if you bought for 2,000 rand to this Saturday, next week Saturday, you won't pay the 2,000 rand and you won't pick up again for another 2,000 rand again. So this is how the system works with them. And they have got the bullets for that. They have got the infrastructure. And that's where they are successful, because they can come in with price and they can sell in price. I went when we were doing this process for local in Kawamashu, we were there. And we took a walk around, and you know, firstly, people say, you know, you go into the heart of Mashu, that are you safe, not safe? You know, we were safe. In fact, I was the only Indian among my colleagues, all the other black colleagues of mine. And we walked right through to Amla, into Mashu, had a look at it. And so the spaza owner, where we had the conference, and we had a radio show, as well as we brought all the media to, and he used to employ 4 people in his shop, and then now he says, you know, I can only employ 1, because what happened was, down the road, a foreign national opened a shop, could have a look at his shop, and you will see from floor to ceiling, his shop is full. So when it comes to that, you can't beat them. And he has taken a beating. He says he used to take 60 crates of bread a day. Today, he can't even take 12 crates a day. That's how bad it became. And yet, his foreign national brother down the road, he's now taking 100 crates a day selling bread and not alone. So, you know, these are the things that happen in the trade. Because if you've got the network and if you have got the buying power, that's when you can beat the system. And people, you know, for especially among the in the rural and especially in the township, the guy for 10 cents, 15 cents or whatever it is, he will take a walk down the road to go and buy from wherever it is. He can save that extra few cents and all. And that's what happens. So that's where the problem is. They have got the power to buy, especially the Somalis. They have got a proper network, not only on this bazaar shop in this grocery and everything. That's, by the way, even in the clothing, you will see the warehouses they've got, Molana, because I've been in the clothing industry for the last 30 years. And I'm telling you, the designer clothing, you name Boss, Reebok, Adidas, and all that, Puma, you look for, you will get it. And you go to Gray Street, West Street, like, you know how they have it in India. They show you one thing upstairs, but then the guy will take you upstairs, come upstairs. They got it in the godam, in the side godam. He'll show you all the designer stuff and everything. That's what they are doing at the moment here in Durban as well. So they are closing their net because of, in terms of trademark and all that. You know, in about a couple of weeks ago in Point Road alone, we took about a couple container loads of all for fake goods. So this is what happened. So they're in this when they got the power to go and do these things, and you know, and they get caught, you know, they pay a fine or somehow or the other they come out of it and all that, and they have got the power to trade in these things. And the only other problem that we face with our local and our people, we don't have that strength and the unity. The biggest thing in this whole exercise, what we are talking about, Molana, is the unity they have among themselves. And that's where we lack. We don't have the unity to assist these foreign, our locals, and even the foreign nationals have the unity to do that buying group. And that's where they are very, very successful in trading in all these, especially in the clothing and food stuff, in everything you name it, they are front runners at the moment.
And I suppose having the quota system isn't going to work where, you know, if you'd say only certain percentage of registration or license for foreigners, or you may say 30% or 40% and 60 or 70 for locals. That isn't going to work because foreigners will be using locals to go and apply license also.
They're going to do that, Molana, but the thing is you see, most of these foreigners, they are on work permits and everything. So if you're not going to have that, now that's where we are clamping, and you know, my party is clamping, and also the Home Office is clamping on it. They are sending them by the hundreds at the moment, and thousands of them are leaving, and they're not going to come back now, because at the end of the day, they are closing the net as well as in all the borders as well. They're putting army there. They're trying to do their utmost best to make sure that we can control the foreign nationals in this country, because they're actually, technically speaking, they're draining the country as well, because they're not paying any taxes. The infrastructure they're damaging. They're only, what they do, they make money here and they're sending it to their own homeland, and we're suffering here because there's no taxation or anything like that. So they are better off than we, because we have to pay rates and tax, we have to pay tax, we have to pay everything we have to do, and they are getting away because at the end of the day, they're not paying no taxes, they're only paying their rent where they are staying, and whatever money they make, they're sending it overseas, and it's causing a big problem for our infrastructure as well. That is a big problem we face with. That's what we are saying, spazas for local. So there's a lot of local of this clamping down. So a lot of these locals have sprung up and they started to put their act together. And they say, if they can do it, we can do it. So, you know, the good has come out from this 27 deaths as well. You know, you after this year, we clamped down on everything. So, you know, it's not nice saying, you know, we lost 27 to fix the system up. So it's not the way we should be doing. This should have been taken care of long ago.
The next big issue, actually this issue came out about, to public knowledge sometime in October. And it seems to, be heating up now. And that is regarding having your own electricity in the form of solar panels and your own inverter, your own battery, everything paid for by you. But there is going to be some kind of levy or surcharge, if you have these things. And what we are reading in the news is the proposed charge is for network and infrastructure and will be applied regardless of whether or not the customer has used electricity. This proposal is part of the electricity reform strategy tabled by the city aimed at addressing the performance of the electricity unit. Now here, it seems like the electricity department wants to be like Telkom. Whether you use the phone or not, you have to pay rental for the line. However, the difference here is the solar panels, the inverter, the battery, all this is the property of the consumer. He paid with his own money. The municipality did not come and install it in his house, the way Telkom does. Hence, to the public, this is daylight robbery. Would you happen to know how the municipality is justifying this cost to the consumer?
Molana, if you look at this, what happened, take 10 years ago. 10 years ago, we had 800 million surplus in our kitty. Just from electricity generation and giving new buildings, new infrastructure, we used to give electricity. Now we're sitting, as we speak, on the 2023-24 financial year, we're sitting on a deficit of 500 million, Molana. So now you must ask ourselves, 10 years ago we had 800 million surplus, now we're sitting on 500 million deficit. What happened all of a sudden? In 10 years, we can't be gone back to worse now. What actually transpired? Now, when load shedding started coming into play, a lot of people that went away into their own self-grid, what we call. They went and put solar. They said to the municipality, thank you very much. You can't supply me enough electricity. I'm losing business. I'm losing revenue. Sorry, I've got my own grid. I'm using my own power. So that's where the electricity issue has been. Like now, you don't get so much of load sharing because a lot of people went away and out of the grid and went into their own solar grid. So that's where the biggest problem is. Now, if you took 10 years ago, 10 years, 15,000 connection a year we used to do. 2023-24, we only did 3,000 connection. So, there's 12,000 we lost. So we lost revenue on 12,000 new customers where we're supposed to be supplying in power. So that's what. So now we think to ourselves, how do we start generating revenue? So one of the things they have now found that they say is, okay, fine. Even if you went on your own, you're not using our power from the Itigwini municipality, you're not using from ESCOM, or you're not using from the grid, what you do, whether you used or you haven't used, you now have to start paying us a levy. Now, that is going to be a big outcry. This is only hasn't been tabled before the full council yet, so it still has to be sanctioned. There will be a lot of public outcry on this. There will be petitions on this issue here. There's going to be a lot of negativity that in this year they were not going to pass it in a hurry, because end of the day it's not going to work, because you can't. We are at it is, we are overburdened in terms of the ESCOM has put the prices up, so you have to start looking into that. Plus now you want to get labeled for infrastructure. Yes, we need money for infrastructure, but they'll have to find it from somewhere else, because that increase that from between the Tigwini municipality and ESCOM that have put the increases are, they'll have to find a way into that. They can't come in now and say to us, you know what, we need to bring in revenue to get the infrastructure done. It's impossible. You can't take it from the activities, the community and the residents are suffering at the moment. So where are you going to get the money from? So that is, but I don't think we got too much to worry about, because this has to come before the full council, and there will be the ratepayers association will object to whatever is coming before us. So this thing is going to take its course maybe sometime next year. It's not going to be an easy ride for the city or the municipality to say they want to be able to accept that the new infrastructure cost must be bound by the ratepayer. The other thing is, if you take in borehole, I'll just give you a small scenario. If you take in borehole, now the municipality is telling you, you must also put a meter. We want to read that meter, how much water your consumption, you need to pay for that. Now, that whole structure cost us $600,000 to put it with a proper purification plant and everything to get water from the ground. We have spent for it. We have done everything. Now you still have to pay the municipality for usage. They're saying, no, that water doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the municipality. How it belongs to the municipality, that's the problem we face.
And what's surprising, you know, if the surplus fell from 800 million to, let's say, even 100 million or 50 million, that would be easy to accept that it happened probably without corruption, because many people have, you know, gone out of the grid. But here, from 800 million surplus to 500 million deficit, now this indicates to the existence of corruption. Are you aware of any investigation into corruption regarding this surplus and deficit?
Well, this year is one, if you look at it, if you work out the numbers from 15,000 connection to 3,000 connection, that is one of the things. Now, if you, like, you got a shop, and if you're not taking, so now you are paying, you're still paying your light, water, staff, and everything else. So you're not trading 1 month, 2 months, 1 year. In 1 year, now you went into a deficit. That's one. Secondly, you are right. Corruption is there. There is CIIU doing investigation on two major departments. This one is water and sanitation, and the other one is electricity. So that's where, and the DSW are the main culprits in the city. We are doing investigation, and this thing has already is already in court, and most of them are getting dealt with, because now we're putting pressure by the steps to say, you know what, we have given you this case. We are not getting any reply. We're not getting any feedback. Where we are with this, nobody has been brought before the court. Why is it beside the Zanella DSW matter is in court? Where is the other matters that is outstanding? The public wants to know. And this is everything in the public domain. So you need to know where we are. These people are supposed to be behind bars. Why they are still walking around? That's what we are saying.
Okay, Jazakumullah. We took some extra time, but, you know, it was information that the public had to know about. So that's no problem. Jazakumullah, khair al-jaza, for your valuable time and also the valuable information that you have imparted to us. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you for all your efforts and give you success in your efforts to, you know, rid our municipality of corruption. Insha'Allah, we will talk again next week, and during the course of the day, Insha'Allah, you will get the podcast.